Well, good morning. So good to see everybody here. So good to see some faces that haven't been with us for a while. Just so very glad to see everybody, to know that we're back together again for this period of time. And for this is weird, I guess, to say this is the last Sunday for the year that I'll be preaching. I'll be in Florida this next weekend, getting to spend time with her family, getting to see and be with them. We're so excited for that. And I'll be getting to preach. I'm not preaching that Sunday. I'll be preaching for them that Sunday morning while I'm there. But I just wanted to take this time and to especially say thank you for all the support and encouragement, all that you all have done for us this year. And it's been awesome. We love this family. We love this group. We're so happy to be here. But let's be frank. What a year this has been. I never thought that my first year being out on my own, outside of my training, was going to be this intense. You can say it that way. This has just been a very strange and unique year. And just to be fairly honest, I think any historian going forward will probably look back at the year 2020 and will probably say this has been one of the worst years in America's history. You put all things considered, all things put together, this may be up there as the number one, if not definitely in the top five, and probably even in the top five of the modern world's history of being one of the worst years ever. Because on a global scale this year, you've seen the world's economy just about freeze and come to a standstill. You've seen countries become angry, suspicious, frustrated with one another, to the point where travel sometimes just isn't even possible anymore. And even just among America alone, you've seen the massive travel restrictions that happen between states, between countries, sometimes even between cities. This is ridiculous. But within America alone, this year has been very tough. You see all throughout the country, coming up on the news, through social media all the time, the hatred for masks that leads to this level of extreme selfishness. Or pushing back to the say the government is overstepping their bounds and all these other issues and problems arising. Or lack of trust that has shown up on pretty much every single topic that is brought up. You can't trust the facts or who are claiming are facts. We've seen massive job loss. Lots of political divide. When you look back at data, you can see that almost never has there been a more real case and cases of mental anguish and anxiety. This year has just been really, really bad. In fact, as somebody Wednesday night described it, what year? 2020 has been a year of trash. This is a trash year, it's a throwaway year. And probably at first glance, second glance, maybe even looking at third glance, this year could be described that way as trash. But I think there's a lot of positives that we can pull out from this year. And I want to talk about this morning of why 2020 was not so bad. I want to spin and look at this and try to look and say why 2020 has not been so bad. And here's the first bit, because this was also brought up. A concern, but the Central Mansfield family has still grown this year. You guys, after 2 years, have a full-time preacher again. And I know that was planned before COVID and all these things hit. But when we moved out here, it started ramping up and we were nervous that we might not be able to get out here, find a place to live, or you'd have to travel a lot. But lo and behold, the Lord blessed all of us and the Lord looked and took care of us and we are here. And I'm so very, again, thankful and blessed to be able to be called a part of this family. And as we've taken time to get to know each and every one of you, I'm excited. I know Alyssa's excited too, and we're so very thankful for all of you. We grew in another way too. We altered our Wednesday night Bible studies. We've changed about how we're doing it because of the situation, but we're now kind of doing a more family-style Wednesday night Bible study. And I can tell you this, from that, I've loved the discussions, I've loved the encouragement, but never have I been a part of a church family where a 10-year-old can boldly speak up amongst a crowd of adults and bring good, encouraging words. Or a 13, 14-year-old speak up and give good answers and clarity to a question that was brought by somebody else in the room, by an adult in the room. I've been so impressed by the kids that have been here, and I'm so looking forward to getting to meet the rest of them when they're free to come back and be with us again. But I can tell you, I've seen immense growth and encouragement that comes from just those two kiddos. And I love that family style study we're doing. I hope we can encourage and continue that after we're done with all this. Because I think it's encouraging for me, and it's encouraging for them. I think it's encouraging for all of us. And you know what else? We've grown closer together as a family. I've never been in a church before where every single Sunday I know I'm going to be going out for lunch with a group of people who care and love and want to spend some time with us and have good laughs and good memories no matter what the situation is. Even on a Sunday when we get devastating news about loss, we can still go out together and share a smile and share love. And I can just tell you this from my experience at camp this year and looking at all of the people on Facebook, preachers that are sharing these things in America, in Texas, around the world, God's kingdom has continued to grow. Even throughout this year 2020, that seems to be like trash and terrible, the kingdom is still growing. And the data shows those who are attending church on a weekly basis are growing and are positive versus everyone else being in a more negative light. I just have to say the first point of why 2020 wasn't so bad is because this family still continued to grow and to prosper. Praise the Lord for that. Here's the second thing. We learned the importance of church and of the assembly. Of the church and of the assembly. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be looking here for a little bit. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. Therefore, consider carefully how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Taking advantage of every opportunity because the days are evil. These days are dark. For this reason, do not be foolish, but be wise by understanding what the Lord's will is. And do not get drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody, making music in your hearts to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. There's a few things I want to pull out of this section that I think really applies to us learning this year. The importance of church, the importance of the family, of the assembly, of us being together. And the first one is this, is the need to gather. I can tell you this, up until this year, I personally think I maybe took a little bit advantage of the ability that of gathering together every Sunday and every Wednesday. I know for a lot of people that it can sometimes be mundane or just expected or just come across as the same where we come and we're going to sing a song, do a prayer, a couple more songs, Lord's Supper, this pattern of repetition. And yeah, that does happen sometimes, but you know what? I think a lot of us maybe took advantage of that fact. And looked back and just never had a chance to think, what would happen if this wasn't available? And then this year hit. This year hit. And now we can look at it, I think, as the present and the future going forward and seeing this is a gift. It is a blessing, and in some cases, a challenge, as we still see states challenging the church for gathering. I just learned this about the city of Seattle, banning public singing altogether again. Guess that'll be brought up in court and challenged there. But we're still seeing people challenging the fact that people want to gather and find encouragement through the Lord. And trying to, it seems like to me they're taking these things away. But you still see Christians gathering and challenging and standing up and saying, I want to worship. I don't think I've ever heard somebody come forward and say, I need to worship until this year. And there's something else about the gathering too. It's online worship. Never did I ever think it would be this prominent or this real a thing, but I think it's going to be here to stay. And I think it's going to be something that we may need to look into a little bit more. But this should never be our primary source of worship. And I need to say that just flat out. Online worship should never be the primary source of worship. It is important, it is necessary to come and gather together as a family. And you cannot do that when you're sitting at home on your couch, choosing not to be here. You can't be here because of health, whole other situation. Can't be here because a force is keeping you at home, whole different situation. But when you have a choice to stay at home versus be here, I think you might be making the wrong choice. You cannot assemble, you cannot gather if you are not here. But here's another need, the need to sing. I love singing, and I know so many of you love to sing and praise together here. But I can tell you this, one or two gathered together, that does not bring the same level of encouragement to me in my heart when I'm in a room all together singing and praising the Lord. Singing in a group is so very different than singing alone or singing at home. Or the first couple of months that we were here, and it was just Alyssa, I, Jason or Rick and Jeff that were all up here. And I'm my heart, I knew you are all singing at home and worshiping at home, but I missed hearing your voices together here. And it's not because they don't have good voices. It's because I missed hearing everyone together, encouraging and blessing one another. And that's, like I said, if we looked at Ephesians chapter 5 and pulling these things out, you saw the need to gather. You see there in verse 19 that we're speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music, making melody in your hearts together in the Lord. That's the importance of singing. That's the importance of that coming together. It's to build one another up. It's to share with one another. You look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, the other place we go to talk about singing. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell within you richly, teaching and exhorting one another with all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with all the grace that's in your hearts to God." We pull these things from songs. We pull lessons together. We pull promises. We pull encouragement together. I love to sing. I love to hear these voices. And I think I took advantage of the ability to do that in the past. But I will never do that going forward. Because I think I've learned the need to gather and to sing. What about the need to study? This has been a challenging one because this year brought a lot of questions for us, seeking answers to situations that we've never seen before or never thought we would ever see before. I'll tell you this, the first lesson that I brought here, I never thought would be about taking the Lord's Supper at home. But that was challenging to me and that was encouraging to me to have to bring that. But that's something a lot of people have been struggling and challenging with throughout the year. Issues of the conscience of taking the Lord's Supper at home. That was something a lot of us had to study and come to a conclusion on our own. Because that's no strong answers, I think. There's no detailed example of saying, well, if a disease hits the world, this is what you're supposed to do. I wish it was there. But we could pull things, I think, to give us an answer by studying. How to give. How to take up collection in a case where we can't always come together like this. In which ways can I give now that maybe not just be financial? Things we had to study and come to a better understanding on. Submitting to the government. Submitting to one another in ways and things I never thought I would have to before. These are things that we've had to study, need to continue to study going forward. And you know what? I hope, and I also encourage, that as we continue on, because I don't know when this is going to end, but as we go forward, we've had a lot more free time, I think, in our daily lives than we've ever had before. And I hope and encourage that you're taking time at home to study and study together as a married couple, to study as a family, building each other up in all different ways, taking whatever time you can through maybe finding outlets through other churches, through Zoom, maybe resuming a ladies' study. Let's maybe get a men's study together. Let's find ways to continue to study together and grow. because I think we have a lot more free time this year and this next coming year. I found a need to study even more. And I also found a need to share. Never before have I felt this need to be so honest and upfront with my brethren about where I am in my life and where I am in my mental anguish and physical problems and things. Because it's great to know that I've got a family here who want to support me and who want to support each and every one of you and each and every one of us. Sharing our concerns, our struggles, our anxiety. Never before have I felt I could do that or should be able to do that freely until this year. Let's take the masks off. Let's bring the facades down and just be real with one another again. And know that I'm here to share and support and be lifted up. My goal is not to tear down. And also a need to love. And that's been a tough one. Because there's been so much trial and anguish and infighting, not in this church, but just in the world. And it bleeds through. And I'll tell you this, man, I'm tired of looking on Facebook and seeing Christians being so venomous and villainous towards one another and towards other people in the world. It breaks my heart because we're supposed to be a light, and instead I'm seeing bushels covering lights. And it hurts. And I'm going to call that everyone at some point this week, please make a special prayer in your time, in your days, in your hearts, for all of those who are missing out on these things. Either by choice or by force. Who are missing out on the need to gather, to sing, to study, to share, to love. This year has been really tough and it's been a beat down on all of us. But you know what? We learned some good things about how to strive forward. 2020 hasn't really been so bad. But in that last point of love, there's something else to pull out of this, I think, that Liz and I and some of our friends have talked about a lot. And it's been a real struggle and kind of mental anguish on us. And it's a need to look at what submission and servitude needs to look like. Look over in Romans chapter 14 for a little bit, if you will. Paul makes some excellent comments here about servitude, about submission, and about working with one another, because this has been a really tough and hard year for a lot of people. To set their pride, to set their wants or desires away, either submit again to each other, to elders, to the church's needs together, to the government. Look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 5, and we'll look down at verse 13. It says, "One person regards one day holier than other days, and another regards them all alike. Each must be fully convinced in his own mind." Look down at verse 13. "Therefore, we must not pass judgment on one another, but rather determine never to place an obstacle or trap before a brother or sister." Translation: be careful not to bind personal views on others who have different convictions. If I feel like I need to wear a mask, and we all should be wearing masks, that's my personal view, that's my opinion. But you know what? I can't bind that on somebody else who doesn't necessarily feel that way. And I can tell you there's a real struggle going on at that within the world and within the church too right now. Back off a little bit. You need to back off a little bit. And remember that that's my view and my opinion. That's not something we need to be splitting and fighting over. Look at chapter 14 and verse 19. It says, "So then let us pursue what makes for peace and building up one another." Pursue peace and mutual upbuilding. Pursue, chase after it. Long for it, run for it, go and get it. Stop building this little fort of I'm going to stand on my mound and my army. This is my hill to die on. We got to stop doing that. We got to start coming to one another again in love, because we right now need love. We need teamwork. We need to be coming together. Look at chapter 14, verses 10 and verse 12. It says, "But you who eat vegetables only, why do you judge your brothers or sisters? And who eat everything, why do you despise your brothers or sisters? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God." Drop down to verse 12. "Therefore, each of us will give an account of himself to God." Do not despise our brothers and sisters in Christ. I had an interesting chat with a preacher friend of mine down in a different part of Texas. And he was saying, again, around election time and stuff, he found it really encouraging because, came to find out, his church was almost split 50-50 on which side of the aisle they were going to be voting on. And yet he said he's never seen a church still come together in more unity, because they looked past those things and said, we need to be working together for the kingdom's sake. Yes, I might not share the same beliefs, but I'm still coming together. Do not despise one another. And that's not me saying I condone certain things on each side. I'm just stating, don't despise. Let's not hate. Let's work together. Look at chapter 15, verses 5 through 7. It says here, "Live in harmony with one another." 15 and verse 5. "Now may the Lord, the God of endurance and comfort, give you unity with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So receive one another, then as Christ also received you to God's glory." Live in harmony together. Work well together. Come together, church. As we move into year 2021 and talk about rejoicing and looking forward to all these things, let us remember we live in harmony together as a family. Let us work together as a family. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, it says, "With regard to food sacrificed to idols, we know that we have all knowledge, but knowledge puffs up, but love builds up." Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Yes, I may have data, I may have facts, I may have proof of things to cement my opinions and my spot on the hill. But is that love? Am I still showing love to my brethren and how I'm bringing these things out? Or am I trying to beat them down with things that truly and honestly do not matter? I want to look at John chapter 13 and Jesus' comments here about submission and servitude. This should be a familiar passage. John chapter 13, and we'll look at verses 4 and 5, and then we'll hop down to 12 through 17. He says, "Because Jesus knew that the Father had handed all things over to him, so that he had come from God and was going back to God." Verse 4, "He got up from the meal, removed his outer clothes, took a towel, tied it around himself. And he poured water into the wash bin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel he had wrapped around himself." And let's hop down to verse 12. "So when Jesus had washed their feet and put his outer clothing back on, he took his place at the table again. And he said to them, 'Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and do so correctly, for that is what I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you too ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you. I tell you the solemn truth. The slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent as a messenger greater than the one who sent him. For if you understand these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Things I pulled out of that: submission is not forced. Submission should never be forced. It is an act of love. It is a sharing of love. Servitude is not done out of coercion. It is a choice. I choose to submit. I choose to become a servant to each and every one of you. Just as I hope you will become a servant to me. And most importantly, again, kind of tying all of Paul's comments all back together again, is that no one within the kingdom is greater than one another. We are all God's children. No one is greater than the other in any case. 2020, I think, taught us the importance and need to submit. And if we've been struggling with that in our lives, well, this may have been the hard bit to chew to get us through, to move on forward and becoming deeper and deeper and closer to one another. Here's the last one. Is that I've found a deeper trust and reliability in God. Never before have I felt the intense need to be a part of God, to let everything out on the plate with Him. 2020, I think, really helped to reinforce with me the importance of having a true and powerful relationship with God. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 through 8. He says, I appeal to Eutychia and to Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I also say to you, true companion, help them. They have struggled together in the gospel ministry along with me and with Clement and my other co-workers whose names are in the book of life. But rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let everyone see your gentleness, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, tell your requests to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if something is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Think about these things. Paul is reminding these people who are fighting, who are struggling, who are not submitting to one another, who are seem to almost be dividing a church, causing so much stress in Paul's life, so much stress in the life of this church. Saying, forget those things. Put them aside. They're not important. What matters is putting it all back to God. Having this true and deep relationship with one another and with God. This year has taught me, I hope it's taught you, have a deeper trust and reliability in God. Because He is there for us. He's not abandoned us. And that's evident by the fact, again, that this church is growing. This church has not been forced to stop worshiping. And while it may sound like I was rebuking you all a lot, that wasn't the case. There's a point I just wanted to make. This church, honestly, as far as I can tell, has been submitting and working well with one another. And I'm so proud and thankful that that has been the case. Because wow, what this year could have looked like if we were not coming together as one team before the Lord to work with one another. Four important lessons I think that year 2020 has taught us and has taught me. And again, looking back, this year's been tough, but it's really not been quite so bad. And there's just a couple of things I want to look at as we just wrap up. We cannot go back. The past is in the past. 2020 is about to be behind us. We're about to move into a new year. Year 2021, a year we've entitled, a year of rejoicing, a year of thankfulness. But first off, make sure we need to find new ways to shine our lights. I said in the beginning, I don't think online stuff is going away anytime soon. I think the whole work environment is going to be changing drastically. We need to make sure that we're getting to know our neighbors. We need to make sure that we're reaching out to the people that are within our sphere of influence, sharing the gospel with them. Letting them know that I care about you, not just in your physical natures, not just your emotional natures. I care about you on a spiritual level, and I want you here with me. I want to know that you have now a stake in heaven, a stake in the greatest inheritance of all time. Because I care for you. Find new ways to shine your light, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, you are a light that stands on a hill, a city that cannot be missed. Reach out to your neighbors. Reach out extra hard to those in our lives who have fallen away. Our fallen family, our fallen friends. Don't give up on them. Let us make sure we're taking every advantage, every opportunity we can to share Jesus. Because something year 2020 has taught me is that I don't know the next time I'm going to see somebody. I just don't know when I'm going to see my family again, my friends again. Take every opportunity you can to share the gospel and to grow with one another. Please. Do not take advantage of the times to gather together with Christians. I think that's something that we may have taken advantage of in the past. I know a lot of people that have done that. And that's something I think has been really cool this year. It's been a struggle, but we've made as many opportunities and chances as we can to gather together outside of this time. Don't take advantage of those times. Don't let those times fly by. Come together and work with one another. And lastly, be thankful. This year could have been a whole lot worse. But looking back, be thankful for the past, how things were. Just be thankful for the future. The things that are coming, the things that are to come, the growth that we are expecting and hoping to have. Be thankful that we have a chance at something beyond. But at the same time, be thankful for the present. And I can say again, be thankful for the fact that I am here, that we are here. Not saying me as a preacher, sorry. That we are here together and are growing and loving with one another. Don't backslide. Do not walk backwards. This year is almost behind us. A year that has felt like a decade. But I want to be thankful and brought some points, I think, to help us see that this year really wasn't so bad. And if you need to make your life right with Christ in any way, we give that chance now as we stand and as we sing.